Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to methodically go through it. We're going to do that in a moment, but we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation, O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy to be here. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. Here we are. I was a little panicking before. I didn't see Maureen at first. I think her screen name changed. Because I said, oh, gosh, it's Friday. I'm not really feeling well today. I need some help. I can't talk for 45 minutes.
I have a Gmail account, I think, that I never use. And for some reason, that popped up. And I hit the button, and that's my Gmail name. So go figure. I don't know. I usually use AOL. I'm
in this it said M. Bloom. I said, oh, is that Mary Bloom? Well,
actually, it's Maureen Bernadette Lomity. It's my initials. I did that when the kids were little. I forgot about it. And, you know, when you have little kids, you forget everything that you do. So that's probably about 20 years old and it just popped up. So here I am, MB Lom.
Well, I asked Peter, I said, Peter, bring me another cup of coffee, please. I need something. Oh, you know what happened? I babysat yesterday for my daughter. She's 2.5 and she had this little bit of a virus and she had a little bit of a fever. She's in my arms. She's sleeping with me. So I'm breathing her breath. She's breathing my breath. And I'm saying, how can I not get this? So I didn't sleep very well last night. But I'm energized. Right? Anytime we come together, it's such a blessing.
And you forget about all that stuff. And then when you shut the computer, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm sick.
Well, yeah, I have a vision of the couch, you know, just vaguely in my mind. But, Maureen, just preparing. We don't really prepare for this. We just know what lesson from Father Iannuzzi's dissertation we're going to be using. And then, of course, the passage. But I had that same thought again that just came to my mind. I mean, we have so much. Yeah. We have the websites that I'm familiar with, which is ours, you know, queenofthedivinewill.org, fiatradio.org, which is an MP3 only website. You've got Father Iannuzzi's livinginthedivinewill.org. You've got Father Celso's divinewill.me. Is it? He's got a couple of them that people manage. You've got Father Newsy. You've got Mother Gabriel's. We have so much.
You do. Yeah.
We probably have more than we could actually grab and grasp and spend time on. We don't have the time. Because again, God knows we have. He's given us other obligations that he's not asking us to forego. He's asking us to take two things. He's asking us to, number one, take that disposable time we have, the time where we're really wasting time, to spend it on the divine will. He's asking us, I think, to do that. He's also asking us to give up even holy things, which is, you know, all those things we've been doing, all those devotional things we've been doing. He's saying, put a pause on that. Don't throw them out the window. Put a pause on that. Be engulfed in the divine will. And then go back and do those things. And now we're doing it on a whole different level. Not that we've changed, but God has changed what we're doing. Now we're taking, instead of, helping those souls just in front of us, like Jesus says, you know, three generations, perhaps, the old, the young, and the in-between. But now we're affecting all souls, past, present, and future. And that, again, that's just still a phrase that or a statement by Jesus that I believe. And when I try to understand it, I get really confused. So I try not to understand it, but I have to look at what he says in volume 11, March 8th, 1914. Jesus says, quote, "One instant of operating in my will, one instant is enough to surpass all the works of all the souls of the past, present, and future." And one instant. And we know that if we're in the state of grace and we have an ardent desire, that God is going to give us this gift on loan. We're not going to know it when it occurs. It's usually for one act. But when he gives us that gift, we are actually in that dimension that's never before been afforded to us since Adam and Eve left Eden. So we have that ability. It's almost a guarantee. He's going to give us that instant. And that instant, like he says, well, is enough to surpass all the works of all the souls of the past, present, and future. So I think that's a little easier to understand than give up even holy things. Mm-hmm. Because if we're doing really holy things and we're doing it really well, it cannot pale, it cannot compare to effectuating souls and surpassing, quote, all the works of all the souls of the past, present. This is all souls. This is all saints, all mystics, all theologians, everybody, one instant. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that. And then, of course, my head starts spinning. Then I remember also what he says, our blessed Lord says in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. He says to Luis and to us, he says, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all." To all, in all conditions, it had to be available and easy in all circumstances. It had to be easy and available in every place, unless they did not want it. So if we don't want it, we're not going to get it, but it's no big deal. We don't want it. But it's available at any time, anywhere. So we don't have to go looking for this. God says, "You haven't come looking for me, so I've come looking for you." Now, can you receive this gift of living the divine will if you've never read anything? If you don't even know the name Luisa Picaretta? Absolutely you can. God's permissible will. God's beautiful, beautiful grace that he can give us. Mystical gifts. He can do that. If he has introduced us to this gift of living the divine will, he's given us a shortcut. He's given us our work to do. He's given us an opportunity to unveil his humanity on earth, which is very, very unknown. I mean, yeah, we know what scripture tells us, but that's just scratching it. The divine will now explicates. It doesn't complete, it doesn't add to, but it fills in all those gaps. It explains everything from A to Z. Before he gave us A and Z, and everything in between is he. But now he's explaining what is B, what is C, what is D, and everything is being explicated to us through the gift of living the divine will. And the church approves that. That's Article 66 of the Catechism. And then Article 67 states that the role of a mystic, Luisa, let's say, it's her job, again, not to complete, not to define, but to help us better understand what has already been given to us in a certain period of time. So again, for apologetics, for the divine will, I think those are the two greatest. When you're hit with those, you know, well, this is not true, or this is not Catholic, or whatever the objections are, you just state 66 and 67, and really there's nothing they can say. Because Father Nuzzi says, if they're going against the Book of Heaven, if they're going against the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, if they're going against the hours of the Passion, anything that carries the Church's imprimatur in nihil obstat, if they go against it and say that's not true, in essence, the Church is wrong, Father Nuzzi says they're in heresy. They're in heresy. Now, do they know that? Probably not, but they're in heresy. So, of course, we don't follow heretical teachings. We don't find this. There's a couple out. There's a couple radio programs that are still spewing, you know, stay away from this divine will. It's a cult. It's this, it's that. It's radical. And Jesus was radical. Nobody was more radical than Jesus.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like what he said either, right?
No, most didn't like it. Most didn't like it.
So, you know, I was thinking about the apostles, and so when Jesus said, "You have to eat my body, drink my blood," so they didn't understand that.
They ran.
But they believed who it was coming from him, so it must be true. And I think that as they attended the masses, I mean, as they were the priests at the masses, you know, after Jesus rose from the dead and went back to heaven, then they had to perform the masses, right? So did they truly get it? Probably not right away, but they did it out of faith. So they consecrated the bread and the wine, not really totally understanding it, but because, like Peter said, who will we go to? You have the words of everlasting life. So they kept doing it, and in doing it over and over in faith, and they probably showed that ardent desire that we need to show for the divine will. So we read and we say our prayers and we listen and we try to learn, and little by little, just like the apostles, will come to understand and trust totally 100%, this is really Jesus. We'll be saying 2,000 years later, this is really Jesus. This divine will is really him. So it's neat to see how it happened 2,000 years ago, and it's happening again in a different way. But we need to have the faith of the apostles and know that this is more wonderful than we could have ever imagined. And that if we don't understand it right away, or we don't get it all right away, that's okay. We're part of the low world. And this is of heaven, and it's coming down to us. So we should be.
And Jesus tells us grace anticipates the soul. We're going to have the grace when we need it, maybe just before we need it. I was talking with Father Nisha too about our Blessed Mother, about what she knew. She knew so much. But also, even the Blessed Mother, she was given all knowledge, but not at one time. Father, he gave an example of, for example, initially when Jesus was lost in the temple, Mary and Joseph were, understandably, they were disturbed. They were nervous. He was lost in the temple. But then through that example, through that exercise, through that experience, God gave our Blessed Mother the grace to understand, why was he lost in the temple? Mm-hmm. Why was he doing the work of the Father? Again, it was all, just like he says to us, it was all a preparation for what is to come, greater sacrifices, greater disappointments, greater joys. In fact, he says that, I don't know if I have it, but he talks about, everything we've gone through has been really nothing but, us being prepared for what is to come. Here it is. Sorry about this. Volume one, of course, there's no dates in volume one because volume one is really volume two, but that's for another session. So volume one, Jesus speaking to Luis and to us, quote, "My beloved, the things past have been nothing but a preparation. Now I want to come to facts. And in order to dispose your heart," again, to allow your heart to gain that ardent desire, to dispose your heart to do what I want from you, that is the imitation of my life. And then he goes on to say also, from volume one, quote, "What you have done, what you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials." And again, I think also he's alluding to, among other things, the chastisements to come as well. And then the last one from volume one, quote, "While seeing yourself beaten, disheartened, alone, you shall resign yourself to my holy dispositions. You shall thank me wholeheartedly. You shall kiss the hand of mine that strikes you, recognizing yourself unworthy of those pains."
Wow.
And last but not least, I promise the last, volume one, he also said to Luisa, quote, "And you, tell me what you want. If you are ready to do what I want, I shall do what you want." End quote. I think Father Celso reminds us of that. Jesus, do what I want, and I'll do what you want. He knows what we want for ourselves, for our family, for all souls, past, present, and future. But also, as he says, for us to make that request that this gift be given to all souls, past, present, and future, Jesus says we must first possess it. That's why it's so important to give up those holy things, to really make time to like you said, Maureen, to form that ardent desire. And thank God Father Nisha was able to extract from all the volumes, what does Jesus mean by an ardent desire? What are the ingredients that comprise that? And basically it's, do we crave it, the divine will's affections and tendencies? Does our memory constantly and continuously recall it? Does our intelligence continuously contemplate it? Are we willing to sacrifice our life in order to let the divine will have supremacy over all? Do we possess the proper knowledge of this gift? Do we empty ourselves of our will so as to make room for God's will? And last but not least, do we have peace? And if the answer is no to any of those, we need to go back to our Blessed Mother. We need to go back to our Blessed Lord. We need to go back to Louisa. We need to ask, we need to pray, study, meditate. And last but not least, he asks us, he gives us this beautiful, beautiful hint. Volume 23, November 27th, 1927. I think this is the greatest insight he's given us. He says, quote, "My daughter, that which is most necessary, not what is one of the most, not is, well, second most, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God, to move God to decide to give my divine will, reigning in the midst of creatures." So again, go back to the order and desire. We move God by craving its affections and tendencies. We move God by recalling it in our memory. We move God by our intelligence constantly contemplating it. We move God by our willingness to sacrifice our life in order to let the divine will have supremacy. We move God by doing the work to possess the proper knowledge of this gift. We move God by emptying ourselves of our will so as to make room for his. And we move God to have peace as he asked us to have from the beginning, as he gave us that peace he wants to return. So it's incredibly, I don't mean to say this frivolously. I don't want it to sound like, but this is so much easier. I think it's so much easier than we think. Yeah, we've got 15 cenacles a month. No, we've got 21 cenacles a month. We've got multiple websites. It's all great. It's all driving us deeper. We're getting a deeper understanding, a deeper love, a deeper affection, a deeper willingness to sacrifice. All that's growing deeper. But in order to receive the gift, we just mentioned it. Move God. Be in the state of grace. Have an ardent desire. Mm-hmm. And we enter into this gift. Now, again, I'm not saying we live perfectly. There's three ways to live in this divine will. Perfectly, imperfectly, and completely. I mean, I think the vast majority of us are living imperfectly, but that's okay. Because like you said, Maureen, as the disciples, as the apostles went out and began to exercise their gifts, not only did they gain in confidence and strength, but they gained in grace. They were, again, grace anticipates. They were being given what they needed. And don't forget what our Blessed Mother says. I forget where that is. She says, don't worry about the priest. Don't worry about the priest. Because after our Lord comes down through the hands of the priest, it gets double filtered through the hands of Our Lady. So don't ever worry about the priest not being in the state of grace, or the priest being heretical, or the priest being this or that.
No, it doesn't matter.
We'll cleanse our Lord to make sure it's the perfect sacrifice. So we have no worries. And don't worry about the priest. God says, I'll take care of him. So the chatter about the priest, I think, has to stop also.
Oh, yes, it does. It definitely has to stop. No chatter. Never.
Well, we're aiding and abetting the enemy. Because
I always say to myself, did he give you Jesus? Somebody was complaining. I said, does he give you Jesus? What else do you want? He's given you Jesus. You know, and also Jesus comes down on the altar. That's not, so it's good enough for Jesus. It's better be good enough for you, you know.
Yeah. And remember,
We're lucky we have priests. Some countries don't have priests.
Absolutely.
We're spoiled children.
Absolutely. And we all participated in that mass too. Remember what Jesus said. He said it in the Book of Heaven. He also says it in the mystical city from Venerable Mary Agreda, that at the Last Supper, I don't know what passage it's in, at the Last Supper, all souls were present at the Last Mass, and then segregated to one side. He doesn't distinguish where, but separated. He says, I was elated to see all those souls who are called to live in the divine will. We were all present at the Last Supper. Mm. We were all present at the birth of Christ. And Christ explains, too, in the volumes as to why does he give this gift to simple people, not to the learned, typically speaking. Why the simple? Well, it began with the simple. Who was at Jesus' birth? The shepherds, the poor. And he kept with that mantra. He takes the simple and does great things through them. again, knowing it's not them doing it, it's God doing it. Louisa Paquetta, the first great education. Sister Faustina, almost no education. Father Gobi couldn't give a proper homily. I mean, all these were people that were shunned. And look what God does. The children of Fatima, these are children that she comes to. I mean, and then now us, through this gift of the divine will. He's calling that certain group, that small group of people, the Cog, volume 16, please go to it. Volume 2, 1924. No, sorry, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. He talks about the Cog. What he's doing, he's taking a small group of people and he's giving them this mystical gift to draw them close to him, closer than ever before, so that he may reestablish this connection, pass through this gift of living the divine will, and allow us to move God in order to dispose all souls, to grant that desire to all souls to receive this gift, past, present, and future. But again, he says, for us to make that request and for that request to happen, we must be living it ourselves. He doesn't say perfectly, living in the divine will. Remember, imperfectly, perfectly, completely. Let's get our foot in the door. And I think we've done that. But again, we're going to vacillate. We're going to go in. We're going to go out. A door opens, door closes. You know, that's going to happen. But every time we go in, God gives us, again, that special grace to sort of addict us to wanting that. He takes us out of the sweltering heat. He brings us to the air-conditioned room. He shows us his majesty, and then he brings us back to the sweltering heat. Well, guess what? Every time he does that, we desire the coolness again. We desire his oneness again. He's creating addicts out. We're being addicted to where he is, where he wants to bring us, where Adam was, where Eve was, where we're going back to, if we're not there already. This is really incredible. And I really don't think it's that difficult. I mean, he said it has to be available in all situations, in all conditions, in all circumstances. Everyone can obtain this gift that they want. State of grace, ardent desire. And then from there, the journey begins. Are we blessed or what?
Yeah, we sure are.
How could we possibly have a bad day? Yeah, granted, some days are better than others. Some days we feel better than others, like me today. But anyway, I'm feeling better.
I'm pretty good. You sound pretty good, Peter. Maybe you do your best work when you're sick.
I sound like a nut. My wife can't listen to me. I can't listen to myself either. I keep telling Radio Maria, I said, are you crazy? I would never listen to me. But really, well, listen to me when I repeat. I repeat Father Celso. I repeat Father Anuzio. I repeat Mother Gabriel. I repeat Jesus. Repeat the Blessed Mother. We're cheerleaders. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. To be a bona fide teacher of the divine will, per canon law, it's a very high requirement that almost all of us have not obtained. So we don't have to worry about teaching it, but sharing it, absolutely. Yeah. To converse about it, absolutely. To even give, this is what it does to me. This is how it moves me. Absolutely. Archbishop Pacheri, he recommended that in his communication of I think it was 2004. But he also said, the late Archbishop Giovanni Pacheri, he asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Not you need a priest by your side every time you meet in the cenacle, or you need a priest by your side every time you read. No, that would be impossible. But for those theological questions, instead of taking that guess, what does this mean? How do we connect this to our Catholic faith? How does this spit? What exactly does that mean? Most of what Jesus says, we don't need to know exactly what it means because we know. I mean, it's almost like a natural knowledge. But those ambiguities that we come across, that's where we have to ask the priest. And that's why Sunday we'll have another opportunity with Father Iannuzzi. He'll be with us for an hour and 15 minutes asking any questions we have. In fact, last week, I think I told you, we had him for an hour and 15 minutes. We ended a half hour early because nobody had any questions.
I know there's a lot of questions.
I don't know if maybe people are apprehensive to ask the question, but think about the question in advance. Anything pertaining to the divine will, Father says, anywhere you want to go in the divine will, as long as we keep it to the divine will, ask the question. And when we know, especially facilitators that form groups that meet and share, the group may have questions. You may have questions as a facilitator. Great opportunity to ask Father. And if you can't do it live every other week, you go to his website and you lob the question in there and he answers it when he can. If it's urgent, send an email to us. You know, ask Father Inuzzi this, or ask Father Celso this, or ask Mother Gabriel this, and we will. And we'll get you an answer as quickly as we can. It's all there for us. We really have everything we need. Gosh, took a lot of time on that. Okay, I wanted to do a couple of things on the red, but I don't know if we have time. Okay, why don't we do this? We can always come back to that. Why don't we continue, Maureen, with we're on footnote number 298. So I'm going back up. We're going to read this once again, because again, every time we read it, we become more familiar with it and we understand it that much better. So we'll take it from the beginning. We'll stop at footnote 298 if we can, please.
5.3.7.5. In Maximus's writings, P.J. Renzi's notes that the divine energy assumes the value of an actualization of resident powers in being and relentlessly pushes these towards a higher thing, always realizing more, until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, the universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. By this means, God makes them all, along with the all, a unified symphony and a unison of motion. Louisa underscores Maximus's teachings on creation's divinization and unification when she asserts that through man, creation is divinized and restored to the original unity, order, freedom, and harmony it enjoyed before sin. If Maximus maintains that by the depth of the divine manner of Christ's hypostatic union and the suffering it embraced, he became son of all the ages, under whose rays the world's harvest would gradually ripen toward unity in God, Louisa maintains that the more the soul lives in the divine will, the crown and center of creation, accomplishes its divine acts and rounds, the more it forms many sons by virtue God, the eternal Son, whose rays enliven creation and restore it to its primordial beauty. Indeed, creation, united to the soul of the redeemed, by virtue of its acts of bilocation, discovers in it the same life by which it is animated, claims it with its love, remains united to follows it and ensures its direct passage from this life to heaven. Louisa emphasizes that it is God in the soul and not without the soul who divinizes and reintegrates all things in himself.
That's just the first two paragraphs of Father Inuzzi's summary of cosmic theology. Again, Father's taken all the writings, he's translated them into English. He's summarized everything that Jesus and Mary have said. He's given a summary from a Catholic perspective. He's also given us the volumes in which to drive us into so that we may look at how he ascertained, how he came to that conclusion, came to that summary. And all of this was given to the Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See, and it was approved and was given high accolades. It was given abrogation. Abrogation is a scholastic word for approval. So all of what's in this book has been approved by the church. So nobody can say, you can't read that that dissertation, you shouldn't be using. Wrong. It's been approved. Again, you're going against the church's approval, you know, technically in heresy if you do that. So until we await the glorious day for that critical edition to be released from the Vatican, which we're not sure when that's going to be, because there's some ambiguity, some things that cannot be explained up to this point. There's no problems, there's no errors, but just they're having difficulty. Who doesn't have difficulty explaining this? Yeah. You know, Jesus says too, Father Inuzzi says, it's difficult to explain the divine will in words, but easy to understand once we accept it. And cool. Yeah. So if you think about that, once we accept it, again, we're given the grace needed to understand it. If we're on the fence, we're not going to receive it. In fact, Jesus gives us a hint on that too. I don't know if I could find it, but that's something I was looking for a week and I couldn't find it. But he says in volume 36, and volume 36 is beautiful too, because volume 36 is like the finale, And if you're into a fireworks show or anything like that, the finale to do something spectacular. But in volume 36, Jesus explains to us that that the divine will has two opposite effects. I'm gonna wing it. For those who believe and trust in it, it is light and life, bringing us to love. For those who read it to split hairs, to find errors, to look for faults, are blinded and receive nothing in the way of grace. They don't understand it. And so that's why, if we think about it, you know, how can we understand something to whatever limited extent we can? And most of the people we try to share this with, they don't understand it. I mean, we're reading the same thing. We're seeing blue and they're seeing yellow. How can that be? Again, Jesus says the reason for that is the true desire to want to know it, the true desire to want to understand it is lacking. Yeah, we're not putting them down. It's just not there. That disposition is not there. And that's why the acts and the rounds, besides creating these spiritual sons for us, and by the way, Louisa said on her death day, when she was sort of taking the journey to heaven, she was asking, what are all these illuminated, look like suns, like, I guess, big stones along the pathway? They're all illuminated with this beautiful glow. And Jesus says, these are all your acts in the divine will, that they were created into spiritual sons. So we're doing that. When we do an act around, we're not doing it. God's doing it. But again, in the state of grace, within our desire, God can give us this gift at any moment. And whatever act we've accomplished, it could be something like the blinking of an eye. But Jesus says the blinking of an eye in the divine will is greater than all the acts of all souls, past, present, and future combined. Why? Because it's not the act itself. It's the magnitude of the act, because it being in the eternal now, being in God's will. It's a dimension way beyond our understanding. The church has not taught this because the church didn't have this. But now through the gift of the divine will, the explication, not the completion, but the explication, the understanding of what's already been given is happening. And it's happening at the Vatican also. But God's giving us a great opportunity as we wait for this, to really grow spiritually, to grow in love, to grow in union with God, and to do it all through faith. Remember, everybody that was healed, Jesus says it was your faith that healed you. I have to believe that when the church gives its final stamps of approval, it's all done, that some of that faith has to be converted to obedience. Well, we believe this because the church says we ought to believe it. Right now, we're doing it in faith, total faith. And that, again, is moving God. And quote, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give this gift. In faith, faith moves God probably more than anything else. Wow, we have everything. Okay, 298, who divinizes and reintegrates all things in himself. And this is a great, this is one for contemplation, this 298. Not much to add to this. I don't have the volume number. Somehow I lost it there, but you can just look up the date, June 14th, 1936. It's the higher volumes, of course, based on the date, but when I find it, I'll put it on there. I just don't have it. Sorry.
Okay. June 14th, 1937. Blessed daughter of my will, it behooves you to know that at the head of the kingdom of my divine will is God himself. Our divinity performs one continuous act. The crown of our attributes is dominated by our fiat, whose kingdom is within us and extends outside of us in our immensity, love, power, and goodness in everything, such that for us, everything is an emanation of our will.
Yeah, and I didn't know, I thought I knew, but I didn't know what the definition of emanation. Another word for emanation is discharge, secretion. Remember we talked about that God oozes with love? I mean, that's basically what's being said here. Jesus communicating this emanation of our will, this discharge, this secretion of the immensity of our love, power, and goodness in everything, such that for us, everything is this oozing again, and we are the result of that oozing, that discharge, that secretion. So that's the I love the way he's going to frame this out. So that's the first stage. Okay, so now he goes to the second stage.
Second comes irrational creatures, the skies, suns, stars, winds, waters, and even the little blade of grass do nothing other than carry out the one continuous act of our fiat. Between us and them, there is one respiratory act. We send forth the breath of our will, and creation receives it. And sending it back anew, it gives us the breath that we had given it. That is, all the effects that the breath of our will produced, whereby it unites itself to our one unique act. How much glory and honor we receive! Our will produces such unity with all creation that everything that came forth from us and returns to us forms one single act of our supreme will. And the multiplicity and diversity of things that are seen and occur are nothing other than the effects that our unique and single act produces.
I love that. And you know, I couldn't help but thinking, and I was chuckling, and I'm going to say this slightly in jest, but think about the first part of this. And then now we just read the second comes, and he's going to go to the third and the fourth, but God is practicing what he preaches. He gave up all holy things. He didn't do all this stuff first. What did he do first? He had dominating us, the kingdom within us, extending outside of them. It was discharging the love, secreting the love, emanating the love. All that occurred first for this to happen. So it's, I guess that's our lay or our human give up even holy things, embrace this gift first, and then go out. And God is sort of practicing what he preaches.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Third, come all the angels, the saints, and the blessed of the heavenly homeland. They pulsate around our supreme being and breathe in without measure the strength, sanctity, love, infinite joys, and happiness of our divine will. They form one single life with our will. This life that they feel within themselves as their own life, they also feel externally as it confers upon them the endless sea of ever new divine felicities. But one is the act our will forms in heaven, one its breath. So you see then that my fiat has complete supremacy.
And again, all this possible because God's such that for us, everything is an emanation of our will. Everything is a discharge of everything is a, everything we do is an extension and oozing of our love. And this is the effect. This is the natural effect. And this is very similar on, again, on a totally different scale of what we can do by allowing God to do it in us. When we say we can do it, it's not we're doing the act. We're allowing God to do the act. We're saying, okay, Lord, you've given me this beautiful gift of my human will. I elect to take my human will and put it behind your divine will. I want to reorder it like Adam had the original order, the divine will and the human will was subservient to it. And now, of course, after the fall, they sort of change places. That's all it is. Allowing, and that doesn't, you know, this is funny too, Maureen, because when first being introduced, okay, give up your human will. Well, if I give my human will, then I do nothing. Oh, I just sit here. And no, that's not what it means. We ask, again, especially in that Preventing Act. That's why the Preventing Act is so important. And again, God, I don't know what volume it's in. Maybe you know, Maureen. Jesus explains, you know, what he wants in the Preventing Act. Basically, it's us requesting that our human will be fused with God's most holy divine will. That's really, in essence, the crux of it. And yes, it's very short in where what Jesus tells Louisa that he wants to see, but we don't have to be limited to that. We can do a 1 minute preventing act. We can do a 3 minute. In fact, I think the one that that I use probably takes me about 3 minutes, maybe 3 minutes and 20 seconds or so. And it was developed by Father Newsy, and it encompasses a lot of different things, but in it, it hits all the essentials. You know, we're asking for the gift. I mean, what are the four things that Jesus says we must possess to receive this gift? We must be in the state of grace. We must have an ardent desire, which we just went over. We must ask for the gift, and we must have an upright intention. We must want this gift for all souls. And the Preventing Act that Father Newsy developed, which is on our website, actually it's the first page on the website, is my favorite. But it doesn't have to be this Preventing Act. It could be as simple as, Jesus, I want to fuse my human will and your most divine will, now and forever. It could be that. But my personal opinion is, I want to give to God as much as I can. So if I have 3 minutes, I'd rather, in layman's term, you've got the full-blown Preventing Act. If I'm rushing out and my mind is ablaze and scattered, if I have to shorten it, yeah, I'll do that. Or if I forget to do it on the way out the door, I will do it as best I can. But if we have the time, three, really. Actually, we have this in audio too, in the audio room, Divine Will Resource Library audio room. It's 3 minutes and 21 seconds. And I like that, especially in the morning when my eyes are closed. I really can't read very well. So I stay here, I keep myself awake, and I'm listening. And I'm just being enveloped by the Preventing Act in an audio version. So anyone we can do is great. But this, to start our day off, we're doing everything we need to do, as long as we're in the state of grace, to receive the gift. And I have to believe that this is, quote, moving God. Because it's doing everything he's asked us to do. You know, those four elements, those four requirements that he's, you know, spread out sporadically within the volumes that Father has been so gracious to extract. Again, that is which is most necessary in order to receive this gift, is to move God, to decide to give this gift. And the Preventing Act is the best way to start our day off.
Peter, that's what I do. As soon as I wake up and I'm still in bed, before I get out of bed, because, you know, once you hit your feet hit the floor, you're off, you know, for the day. So when you wake up and it's still dark in your room, you say your Preventing Act. I think that's the best time before you even get up. And there's something, I think it's in the Passion book somewhere, where Louisa makes reparation for those who don't give Jesus the first thought of the day. So with doing your Preventing Act in the dark, as soon as you open your eyes, I mean, really, it could be at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it doesn't have to be when you're going to get up. It has to be the next day, you know. Say your Preventing Act and you're thinking of Jesus the first thing. So, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. And again, this also is a great way to, like you said, Maureen, to step in the breach for all those who don't know how to do the Preventing Act, don't know to do the Preventing Act, or don't want to do the Preventing Act. I mean, look at the last paragraph. Now I make these acts my own and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. That's the last paragraph. So yeah, it's doing it on behalf of all, stepping in the breach, which we're asked to do until we're taken out of the way in Isaiah.
Well, someone was probably stepping in the breach for us. And that's why we came, you know, I mean, why do we know this? I mean,
absolutely. So we got to make sure where we step. We don't want to step in. But that's good. Okay, we have time. Yeah, so we can get this fourth one. Okay.
Fourth comes the human family. It pulsates around us. But since its members' will is not one with ours, they do not breathe with our will that forms the order, sanctity, union, and harmony that their Creator established. Thus, they remain dispersed, disordered, and severed from us. They are unhappy beings. Peace, happiness, and the abundance of goods are far removed from them because their will is not one with ours, whence all evil emerges. We do not breathe in one accord, which prevents the communication of our blessings and their perfect union with our Supreme Being. This is the reason why we yearn so much for our divine will to reign and form its life in souls. Now, it behooves you to know that as the soul decides to live in our divine will, it secures its salvation and sanctity. We dwell in this soul as in our own abode.
I couldn't ask for a better line to end with. Yeah. I mean, but just think about that last line. And again, this is Jesus speaking. Do we believe this to be Jesus speaking or not? If we do, let us listen. Now it behooves you to know that as the soul decides to live in our divine will through that preventing act, how we begin our day, right? It secures its salvation. It secures its sanctity. We, the Trinity, dwell in the soul as in our own abode. Do we believe that? If we do, game over. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. The world's crumbling. We do the best to protect those around us and for all those we know or don't know. But the greatest way to do good and to help the situation, acts around us, to dive into this divine will. And again, what did he say in the beginning in this, going up to the summary now? Reintegrates all things in himself. God's doing all the work. How do we reintegrate? We can't. We're just good at losing things. We can't really gain things. But God's saying, I've made this available to all, in all conditions, in all circumstances. Everyone can participate, can receive this, unless they do not want it. What a God we have. What a mother we have. What a gift we have. And again, if you have any questions regarding the divine will, Sunday, great opportunity with Father Iannuzzi. He'll be with us. So we'll start the adoration of the Holy Rosary at 1:30 Eastern time. But Father will join us live from Italy at 2:15, and he'll be with us until 3:30, as long as we have questions. So hour and 15 minutes. And again, if you'd like to submit your question in advance, you can do so to our email address, MarySelectQueenOfTheDivineWill.org, or you can go during the program, during the Seneca, you can type it, or you can raise your hand and you will let you verbalize your question to Father live and just get it answered, get that fulfilled, get a definitive answer, and we can move on to something bigger and greater. Unbelievable. But believable because it's all through God. Any last thought, Maureen?
No, that was really great. No, I don't have anything.
Yeah, that was really good. I have to get the volume number, but we have the date of that, but we just don't have the volume number. What was the date again? So I may forget. The date was June 14th, 1937. Okay, I'll work on that. I'll work on that volume number. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Our Lady. And thanks be to every one of us, because we're going to need each other more than we've ever dreamed, ever thought about, maybe very, very soon. So be nice to one another. Love everyone. Thanks, Maureen.
Bye-bye, everybody. Fiat.
Great weekend. Hopefully see you on Sunday. God bless. Easy and accessible to all. That which is most necessary is to move God. State of grace, ardent desire, upright intention. Ask for the gift. This could be easy. Love her. Bye-bye.